This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, Episode 14 for Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Mindy Burback.
And I'm Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place that it is. In today's episode, we get to learn about the fantastic work our district's gifted mentors are doing through some interviews recently recorded by Joshua Genrich, a member of our communications team.
But first, let's take a look at those headlines that are on our LPS website. It's been another busy week in our communications department. First, we had Color Girls Group putting community first. They meet a group of girls at Color Middle School meet 45 minutes each week to talk about issues and topics in their lives, but also how they can help the community. And currently, they're holding a drive collecting personal items and cleaning supplies for flood victims. And they're also making blankets to donate.
Fantastic.
I know, it's a really good project. And Sherry Robinson, she's the Color counselor. She says this is the most community-minded group she's ever led. They have a lot going on in their lives, but they are more concerned about others than themselves. And it's, you know, we hear so many times about, oh, teenagers, they don't worry about anything but themselves, they're so self-centered, but I think we have plenty of examples on our website how that is not true. Also on our website, we have two of our very own staff members from Lincoln Public Schools who have been chosen on the National Art Education Board. Lorenda Rice, who works here in our district office as a curriculum specialist for art. And then we also have Bob Reeker, who teaches art at Elliott Elementary School. And, you know, we are consider ourselves very privileged to have a school district that has a member on any national board, and we have had them from time to time, but to have two chosen to be on the board at the same time is a big honor, and a national board at that.
And I know they've been working together for like 14 years.
A long time.
Sometimes together, sometimes, you know, doing different things, but to have two from a single district on a national board for this is a real honor, certainly for them, but also for us as a district.
Speaks to how excellent our teaching staff is here at Lincoln Public Schools. Also on our website, you'll see the story about our Make a Difference Fair. It's that time of year again, hard to believe, but Scott Middle School every year holds their Make a Difference Fair. And it's sixth grade students presenting the results of their months of research. They write about a lot of today's social issues and how people can help. And then they put that on display, and they encourage people to support the different organizations that we have in our community. Some of those are the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Food Bank of Lincoln, Autism Speaks, People Cities Mission, United National Refugee Agency, Veterans Community Project, Nebraska No Kill Canine Shelter, and one student, Olivia, said it doesn't matter where you're from, what you look like, how old you are, who you are, you can still make a positive difference in the world. Great quote from Olivia there.
Them and the Color students, really great middle school stepping up to help in the community.
Very cool. And speaking of community service, it is that time of year for Student Serve. Right now, we've got sign up going on. You can go to the front of lps.org. We know that there's some high school students out there that might still need to get their GoPro hours in for graduation requirements, or maybe they just want to give back to the community. Student Serve is going to be happening that last week of April, first week of May, where students from all over our district can go out and volunteer in their community and make a difference. They already do make a difference, but this is just one more way that they can be organized in making that difference. And each school is going to be doing their own community service project.
This has been going on for quite a few years, and it's a fun project that just keeps coming up, and a wonderful chance for students to get out.
So be watching during that week. We'll have pictures, videos, and stories from our Student Serve Week. Brian, what else is going on this week?
Well, we had an art extravaganza and drama last week, and so it's a little bit quiet on those fronts. But we do have quite a bit of athletics. They're kind of finishing up their seasons. I've already seen some teams kind of having their senior nights and stuff. But starting off tonight, 5 p.m., we have baseball Southwest versus East High. They're over at Sherman, 6 p.m. Boys soccer, it's Lincoln High versus East High at Beechner. Tomorrow night at 4 p.m., girls tennis, East High versus North Star at Woods. 5 p.m., boys soccer, Southwest versus Southeast at Seacrest. And 6:30 p.m., we have girls soccer, Southwest versus Southeast over at Seacrest. Friday, remember, there's no school. This is kind of one of those days that sneaks up on you and feels like a free day.
So sleep in, no school.
Right. You know, my kids, they don't want to get up on school days, but then they'll be up like at 6 on the day off. Let's get going.
How it always works.
But Friday, we do still have some things going on. Lincoln East has an invitational, baseball invitational, and that's kind of split between Den Hartog and Sherman, and that goes through Saturday. 1 p.m. girls tennis, East High versus Southeast of Woods, and boys soccer is Northeast versus North Star over at Seacrest. Saturday, we have a quad soccer tournament, and this is for both boys and girls. East High, North Star, North Platte, and Kearney will be over at the Spirit Fields over there by 84th and O. Monday, the 22nd, we have baseball. 5 p.m. is East High versus Northeast at Sherman, and also at 5, North Star versus Southeast at Den Hartog. And then finally, we get around to next Tuesday, 4 p.m. girls tennis, Lincoln High versus Southwest at Woods, 5 p.m. girls soccer, North Star versus Southeast at Seacrest. And that evening, 6 p.m., we have our Lincoln Board of Education meeting.
Wow, a lot going on in our district, and always something going on.
Yep, get out, enjoy the spring weather, see some students doing great athletic things.
Well, let's get back to the main reason why we're here today. I'm going to introduce, joining us today is Josh Genrich. He's a web technician in communications, and Josh caught up with a couple of gifted mentors in our district because Josh was a gifted mentor, and he brought the story idea to us, but he also caught up with a student named Peter from Rousseau Elementary. And Josh, tell us a little bit about why you wanted to do this story.
Well, I felt this story is a very important one to tell because gifted mentors is a group of people who you don't hear too much about often. They kind of work behind the scenes. Oftentimes you just don't hear what they do and kind of the great work that they do with all these students. I was very fortunate. I'd like to personally thank Dr. Joan Jacobs. She did a great job hooking me up with these mentors. And I'd like to thank Ann Brandt, the coordinator at Rousseau, who not only coordinated the interview, but sat in with us and helped get me more information, got all the kids wrangled and all that kind of stuff. So I really would like to thank both of them for their time.
Great. And so who are we going to hear from first?
First, we're going to hear from Peter, one of the students that's mentored over at Rousseau. You'll hear from him. He's going to talk about a book that he wrote and illustrated on his own. And you're going to hear plenty from him and plenty from his mentors about this as well. So I'll let him speak for himself. He's a very articulate young man.
All right. Let's hear from Peter.
Hi, Peter. You want to tell us a little bit about the project that you're working on?
Yeah, so my name is Peter Engelman, and I was studying spiders a couple years ago, and I was interested in the books I read, and I wanted to make my own. And the first thing that popped into my head that day was the Three Little Pigs. So I decided to make it based off of the Three Little Pigs. I don't really like the story of the Three Little Pigs, so I decided to try and make it more exciting. And the research I did pretty much helped me make this how it was on trapdoor spiders, which is basically what this whole thing is about. Trapdoor spiders and wasps, which in this story it tries to eat the spiders.
Oh, okay. I'm scared of spiders. And trapdoor spiders are kind of scary to me. So any of your classmates get a little bit scared of the story?
No.
Okay. Well, they're braver than I am, I guess.
The wasp is trying to eat the spiders, but in reality, they stun the spider with the stinger, then lay an egg on it. And when the egg hatches, it eats the paralyzed live spider.
Oh. You're not helping this scary thing.
Disgusting. And this art was very, I'm gonna say, hard. We used paint to do the whole thing. I had many pages where I just did it and I failed, and then I did it again, and then I failed again, and then I finally got it.
Josh, Peter sounds like he's a very animated young lad.
He was very, very animated. One of the other things I do is I coach debate at Lincoln Southwest, and I told him, you know, you better be joining the speech or debate team. You are speaking very well and just very passionate about what he was talking about. And one thing I'd like to highlight there at the end, one of the things that gifted mentors are very good at, and you'll hear us talk about this during the podcast as well, is teach these kids resilience. You know, he talked about how he failed and then tried again. He failed and tried again. These are skills that oftentimes these kids don't learn. They're used to succeeding so much. And, you know, things come easy to them. So when they come into problems, they don't know how to handle it. Peter did a fantastic job of showing us
how
to persevere.
How that worked. So who do you talk to next here?
So in this next section, they'll be introducing themselves, but I spoke with Rhonda, Shane Maker, and Casey Mumo, who are both gifted mentors at Rousseau. They were, Dr. Joan Jacobs pointed me in their direction, and I'm very glad I got to speak with them. And so they'll have a lot to say here, so
let's take a listen.
Speak for themselves.
All right, thanks.
My name is Rhonda Schoenmaker. I started mentoring in 2009.
Oh, wow. It's quite a while now. You beat me by 2 years.
Time flies.
Yeah.
My name is Casey Mumon. I've been mentoring for only about 2 years.
Okay, wonderful. So obviously two different levels of experience here. So like, what's the best project that you've done as mentors?
The best project? I couldn't name one. I pulled up. I've got probably six on my screen. I'll show you if you want to see.
She does have six on the screen. I know you can't see it, but there are six on the screen.
Of all different kinds. Just seeing what kids come up with, given the time and the time to pursue the questions in their head, to see where they go. And to see what they come up with.
Yeah.
And they're pretty self-motivated, this population. So it's pretty incredible to see them just take something and run with it. I'm sure we'll get pictures of projects later, but we've been building robots. We've been building and testing bridges. It's incredible to me the degree to which they can focus on a question and then go really deeply into it. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I'm just getting obstacles out of the way and letting them run. Mm.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the hardest things to do as a mentor, is to know when you need to remove an obstacle, mm-hmm. and sometimes when you need to put one in place. So
it's true. It's very true.
I know you commented on, we're usually a very highly motivated group of kids, but have there ever been situations like what adaptations have you needed to make to help your students work to their best?
I've had students that it's really hard to get them to focus on something for longer than a period. Or half a period. I know you can't see this, but this is one of the things that we did. We ended up doing a bookmark. Yeah. Do these dogs want to be petted? No or yes. And the signs, how to safely interact with a dog. There's the front of a bookmark. There's the back of a bookmark. And he was able to copy these and give them all to his classmates.
Oh.
So a lot of times they want to make an impact. They want to do something. They want to teach their classmates something to help them. So this was probably one of the shortest attention spans. Good ideas, but then getting them to actually do something with that idea.
Yeah. So is that something you're able to do in about a day?
No, this took longer.
Okay.
But he kept focused for more than a day.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, if you can get the right medium for them, then they'll hook into the medium. And the subject matter kind of follows along. Yeah. And then by the time they're done, they've got something wonderful to share.
Yeah.
I'd have to second Rhonda on this one. Most of the time, if you let them explore for a little while, they'll find something they're really, truly passionate about. And they'll take off with it. And then at that point, all you really have to do is pick them up and dust them off when they fall down. And they keep running.
Okay.
One of the things that I've done this last semester, last quarter, that it was to make Kahoots. Do you know what a Kahoot is? They love those. And so the kids that were really having a hard time focusing or staying on task, they knew they were going to be able to make a Kahoot for their class. So that gives you, 10 questions, 10 points that you're going to address? And so we would work backwards from that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you've got to tell them what the answer to these questions is.
Yeah.
So then they would work backwards and then actually end up doing the work.
And definitely giving them a focal point,
mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of these students, when I worked with them, they know a lot. They want to share a lot. Mm-hmm. But when we would do class presentations, their classmates don't want to hear that much. So finding ways to get them to focus that down is really phenomenal.
So they started with the Kahoot, work backwards towards a slideshow, then work backwards towards your outline. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it kind of works that way.
We talked a lot about, we were just talking about how you keep your students engaged with what you're doing. Have you ever had to work with students to kind of help keep them engaged with other school projects or other classes at school? I know in my experience, the kids voice said, I love coming to you every day. I said, that's great, but you need to also pay attention to math class. So mm-hmm. what have you ever worked with kids to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There've been a couple different times, I guess, in my time here mentoring, and it's usually just a case of figuring out how they need the material to be presented. Finding something they're interested in and connecting the material that they're missing or not interested in to that passion. And then at that point, they tie right in. I had a child who was telling his parents that he didn't like math, you know, adamant, not into it. And it turned out that, you know, he didn't like doing worksheets. But as soon as I started him on basic algebra concepts and the ways that you could use those to make or design things, he was all about it. And so it's just a question of finding the right direction to head in, I think, where that's concerned.
Yeah. What are you formally mentoring in? What is your subject area?
I'm officially authorized to do social studies and science. But ask a scientist and everything is science.
Yes.
You write about it. You do art with it. Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm officially a language arts major. But these kids learn all kinds of new words when they're working on whatever they love, and what they love might be robots, or it might be science, or it might be math. And so we teach to that.
Definitely.
Had one kid that was interested in math. He did a slideshow history of numbers, got into archaeology, got into artwork. He did a cartoon slideshow in the history of numbers.
Yeah.
It all fits.
Yeah. Everything definitely does work together, and I think that's one of the great advantages of a GIFIT program is it lets you integrate all these different subjects very seamlessly. You don't need to worry about infringing on over time or anything like that. And it sounds like both of you do a fantastic job of working all that together.
Well, I mean, these children thrive on connections.
Yeah.
So they make it easy for us, I think, in that way.
And what Certainly. One thing I wanted to mention is just that Casey and Rhonda work so well together. We are fortunate enough to have a room that we're all in here at the same time, and they do a lot of collaboration with their students. You know, connecting with Casey connects with Rhonda's students. Rhonda connects with Casey's. They do a literature group on Fridays with some first grade students.
Actually, just finished it.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, I know that's not. That can't necessarily happen everywhere due to logistics and things like that. But these two work really well together.
And so, along that line is one of the hurdles is finding the hook, finding the subject that's going to spark the kid.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will bring my student past here and they'll just be drawn like a magnet to what Casey's doing with somebody else. And it's like something that I would not have thought to do. So all of a sudden there's a topic, an area of interest that they're really interested in that I would have not known had he not been sitting here doing it with another student. So they get that cross exposure.
Yeah.
And vice versa. One of my students right now, he'd been playing a little bit with there's a program called Tinkercad, which is a way for kids to design and adults. It's pretty functional, but it's just an online browser based thing, a way for them to design shapes that can be 3D printed or laser cut or whatever else.
Oh, wow.
And he learned that one of Rhonda's students was working on Japanese tea ceremony. And he started learning about the concept of wabi-sabi and like how imperfection was revered. And so he's building this teacup that he wants us to print out that has cracks in it that show its imperfections, but it's a map of Nebraska and the Platte River.
Oh, wow.
He got really fascinated. So we were doing some geography and we were learning. It was really cool. So
yeah. Well, I'll have to get a picture of that and you'll send that to me once we're done here.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just for me, not even for the podcast.
See?
So the kind of a last question here and kind of a closing is, what are the special projects you want to highlight? And you just did a little bit of that, but whatever projects do you want to highlight here?
Well, goodness. Well, there's this one. One of my students, he was a second grader. Was that last year? He was third grader when he did this. He ended up writing a picture book. The subject was spiders. So he researched spiders and ended up making this picture book.
Yeah.
And it was, I can't do art. I'm not artistic. Well, we got to playing around with it, which we can do in here.
Yeah.
And he discovered he made a 23-page children's book, illustrated book.
For my part, I mean, you can see a lot of them. I've had kids who were really interested in origami and geometry, and so we were making different stuff.
There's a paper turtle on the table right now.
Yep, and paper cranes, and we got a little bit from that into aerodynamics, and they wanted to understand how planes work, so we were testing out different designs.
The bane of every normal teacher, paper airplane.
Oh, yeah. We turned it into a science project. Yeah. I've got some older kids who are working on robotics, mostly because it's interesting. Kids obviously have dreams that are taller than skyscrapers. And so with the focus, we went from a Mars lander to just working on how like a robotic manipulator arm would work. And then they've been building models of that. We've been testing it. And it's been really interesting to watch them sort of run into problems and then work their way around them and learn those skills that are basically how to fail with grace and then learn from it and move on.
Yes.
And that's been probably the most rewarding part of this semester for me.
And how do you challenge them and then also let them fail? And how do they take it?
Well, that very much depends on the child. In order to challenge them and let them fail, I help them explore things. They want to do stuff. They want to do stuff like they see adults doing, or they want to fix problems in the world like Rhonda touched on.
Yeah.
And so they dream big. So they want to attack this huge problem. And so you let them go, you let them attack it as hard as they want to until they run into a situation where they need to narrow it down, where they need to refocus. And then you just, instead of telling them what they should be doing, kind of guide them through the thought process of doing it themselves.
Yeah.
So they find that part where they can't move on, and then they find a way around it. And then if there's a technical challenge or a skill challenge, you help them learn where to find the skills, and then you let them practice. It's just sort of letting them explore. I find that once you let them feel free to take off and run in the direction that they want to, challenging them isn't the issue.
Yeah.
As far as picking them up and dusting them off, well, you just have to remind them that, I guess it's, are you familiar with the growth mindset?
Yes.
So you want to help them go from a mindset of, I just failed and that means I'm a failure, to a mindset of, this didn't work and I want to figure out why it didn't work and what I learned from that so that my next attempt does work. It's just transitioning from one to the other.
Yeah, and that can often be very difficult for some of you students. Some of them take to it like ducks to water. But
it just depends on the kid.
Yeah.
They tend to think really globally, the ones that come to mind when you ask that question. And it's, well, case in point, it's like, oh, global warming, I can't fix it all. And they're just overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's like helping them focus down. Also helping them realize that they're not going to fix everything. Yeah. It's like, we talk a lot about this, and they're able to track with this, I think. Everybody hits the wall sometime. Yeah. You're gonna not be able to get it. And part of what we're going to do here is we're going to put things in front of you that you're not going to get.
Yeah.
And we're going to work through it. Yeah. We've had some dramatic meltdowns. You know, I'm stupid. Yeah. It's like, no, okay. We'll let that, you know, and we have the time.
Yeah.
We have the time to say, we'll just sit here and be miserable for 2 minutes and then we'll talk about it. And then, and you're not stupid. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you know, your classmates might have hit the wall in kindergarten.
Yeah.
They couldn't get addition or something. Everybody hits the wall sometime.
Yeah.
And some kids hit it in college, and then it's harder. So we're going to try and push you to the wall here. And it's okay to feel those feelings. So we just have time to work those through.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the biggest advantages mentors have, is they allow these students to hit the wall, because oftentimes in a normal class, they're never going to be challenged in the way that they would be in this situation. And without that, these kids aren't going to learn about resilience until they go into college, and then they're having a meltdown, and they don't have someone here to help guide them through it. And
it also lets them know that when they see their classmates struggling with something, it's the same dynamic.
Yeah.
It's just a different subject, a different problem.
Yeah. So, well, I want to thank both of you for your time here today.
Likewise.
And it's been phenomenal speaking with you.
Thank you.
Joshua, thank you very much for that great interview. I know my own daughter has been in a gifted program, and that is the thing that I have appreciated most about it, is that it's a place for her to fail. You know, you are scared of a future where they grow up and everything is too easy, and then all of a sudden when it's not easy, they don't know how to deal with it. And so you do want them to run into the wall with support and to have practice doing that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're working with middle school boys, they think they can handle anything. And I always made it a point, like, you know, I was mentoring English language arts, so I would throw very difficult poems at them, like say, okay, what's this about? They would spend 5 minutes reading it, and another five, and then just say, they'd say, I have no idea. I said, thank you. now we'll talk about it. So part of that is letting them know that there's so much more that they just haven't experienced yet, and to know that it's okay to not have the answer all the time. And, you know, I got an email from one of those kids a couple of years ago when he was a senior in high school, and he said, you know, thank you so much for not only challenging me, but making sure that I, you know, knew that I have my limits. So,
and I appreciate, she was talking about how, you know, she doesn't always have the answer. She can't always connect with every student that she has. And it's so nice when you can lean on somebody else that might be right there with you, that's all of a sudden like, I think I've got the answer. So to sort of be able to tag team a little bit.
And collaborate together to find that. And it teaches the students too that it's okay to collaborate. You don't have to have all the answers, but you can have a partner who might be stronger in an area where you're not as strong and come up with a solution together. I think that's the other thing I found interesting about the interview was the making an impact. You know, kids do want to make a difference, or they do want to leave their mark, but they want to make an impact bigger than themselves. And I thought that was a very interesting point that she said early on in that interview.
Yeah, I think she did a great job of articulating that desire that those kids have and how you kind of channel that. And, you know, important, and, you know, how you teach them that you may not always change, you might not always change everything, you may not fix every problem, but you can at least, you know, help work towards it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Joshua. Yeah. If there's anything that you've heard about today that you'd like to learn more about, the stories, the calendar, the gifted mentors, there's going to be information about all of that on the post associated with this episode. So you can check that out at lps.org/podcast. Also, if you'd like to subscribe and get notified every Wednesday when we push up a new episode, you can find us now on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Podcast, Spotify, all the places. So links to all of those services are also up on lps.org/podcast. And for fun, if you'd like to leave us a rating or a comment on iTunes, it kind of helps people find us. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think and tell us in the comment the most memorable book from your grade school days. Perhaps it was assigned reading, maybe something you found in the library, something that even now you find yourself kind of going back to, remembering, picking up. Let us know what it is, and if we get some of those, maybe we'll share them in a future episode. So that's all we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us for Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.